Well, it's going to have the story of the journey to Emmaus. Because it's a story we can identify with, isn't it? We've all been on a walk with people and chatted to people. So we start off by understanding something of what was going on. But the first thing I want to note from this account is that it was a sad journey. I wonder, what is the saddest journey you've ever made? Perhaps lots of sad journeys. And Mike sort of said earlier on about friends from the United States that just sort of brought back to my mind, sort of dropping my son at the airport to fly off to Los Angeles to live out there. And every Christmas it's the same, I cry tears of joy when he's gone home. But we have. I mean, and as I was preparing for this, two sad journeys came very much to my mind. The first was when we dropped our daughter at university for the first time in Bristol and drove home. The sadness there, the tears that flowed, certainly there. The other was, I was in May 2000, I think it was that Saturday, the 13th of May 2000, when Kettering Town lost at Wembley in the FA Trophy final. You never guess what colours Kettering Town play in. Sad journeys. We've all encountered sad journeys. And the road to Emmaus was a sad journey. You've got your Bible there, verse 15. As they were talking and discussing these things, they were talking about these things. What were these things? These were the things that they'd just seen. The death of Jesus. A sad topic for conversation. Verse 17 tells us that when Jesus spoke to them, their faces were downcast, and that says it all. They had a sad demeanor. But I think the words that show the pathos of the event are there in verse 20-21. Having explained to Jesus all that had happened, these two disciples said to him, "We had hoped. We had hoped." And you see, as I reflect upon the two sad journeys I just mentioned, The one when Kettering lost, yeah, we had hope. We'd gone to Wembley in the hope that we were going to win. We didn't. And as we drove back, we were sad. We had hoped. But dropping my daughter at university, I knew I'd see her again soon. And I knew that there was all the potential ahead of her. I didn't realize she was going to have as many children as she has. But there was hope there. So there was sadness, but there was a different emotion. Of sadness. We had hope. And that sums up the sadness of these disciples. They'd been there on Palm Sunday. They'd experienced the excitement of Jesus coming into Jerusalem. And now, that was gone. And all there was sadness. But that echoes that many of us can understand. Where it says the hope, it's the hope that kills you. It was a sad journey. But then what we see in the rest of the passage, it is a change of heart and hope. Because by the end of the passage, by the time you get to chapter 33, they're running with excitement and enthusiasm, buzzing back to Jerusalem, totally changed in their hearts and in their hope. Hope now is burning bright and it's burning real within them. And the change of heart and hope was brought about by what Jesus said and by what Jesus did. Now, that, friends, that shouldn't surprise us. Because God is the one who initiates things that bring about change. The salvation of the world was initiated by God. God so loved the world. But your salvation, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, is initiated by God. Reflecting on this passage over the last few weeks, I came to realize just how much what was going on here relates to my own story of coming to faith. And perhaps if you're a follower of Jesus as I go through it, you'll see the same in your own experience. And from these verses, I just want to pick up three things that led to the change of heart and the change of hope in these two disciples. And the first is that Jesus came to them. Again, look at the Bible with me if you would. Verse 15. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. Jesus came up and walked along. Jesus initiated an encounter with these two disciples on this road to Emmaus. He initiated the contact. He came to them. And that was the beginning of their path of faith. Sunday the 3rd of September in 1972, I was walking down a street in Ealing, and Jesus came to me. Okay, he came to me in the guise of two men who invited me to an evening service in the garden of their church that evening. I agreed, and just over a month later, I came to faith. Jesus initiated a meeting with these two disciples on that road to Emmaus. He came to them. And the second thing is that Jesus taught them. Yes, he listened. He listened to them as they explained all that had happened. How the women had gone to the tomb. How the women had found the tomb empty. How the women had suggested that Jesus had risen from the dead. And then he spoke. Verse 25. He said to them, "How foolish you are, and how slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken." How foolish you are. How slow of heart to believe. And that's what believers are. When those two men met me for the previous 4 years, I've been going to church fairly regularly. I've been baptized as an adult. I trained to teach RE, and I still didn't get it. I still didn't understand who Jesus is and why Jesus came. These two didn't get it. It didn't resonate. They were foolish. They were slow of heart to believe. But that didn't stop Jesus. Because these two were going to be very important. They're going to be key witnesses to the fact that Jesus had risen. And so verse 27. Look at it again. And beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. He took them to the scriptures and he taught them about himself. Friends, if you want to know about Jesus, it's to the Bible we need to go. And if you want your friends to know about Jesus, it's to the Bible we need to point them. It's through the written word that we see the living word. Over the years, I've been privileged to lead a number of Christianity Explained and Christianity Explored courses. And I love the Christianity Explained course, Christianity Explored, because it takes people to the Bible. It encourages us to read Mark's Gospel, so that reading Mark's Gospel, we see who Jesus is. Through the Bible, we see who Jesus is. Jesus taught them, and that caused them a change of heart. On that 3rd of September 1972, I did go to their service in the garden. Afterwards, I was invited into the youth meeting, and over the next few Sundays, I went back every Sunday. And I was asked to join with them as they were going on a weekend away, a youth weekend away, at the start of October. And on that weekend away in a conference centre over in Essex, Jesus explained all the scriptures concerning himself to me. Well, okay, it wasn't literally Jesus, it was an evangelist named Doug Barnes. But he explained from the Bible what Jesus had done, supremely what Jesus had done on the cross. And that teaching resonated with me at that point in time. And it's clear that what Jesus taught these two disciples resonated with them. Because we get that wonderful phrase in verse 32. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" Their hearts burned within them. The Holy Spirit took the word that Jesus was speaking to them and it resonated in them. In that conference centre on the 8th of October 1972, exactly the same happened to me. The word of God resonated in me and changed my heart and changed my hope. And then the years, that's happened to many others. John Wesley found his Emmaus Road in London on the 24th of May 1738. And he says this in his journal: "In the evening I went very unwillingly to a society in Aldersgate Street, where one was reading Luther's preface to the Epistle to the Romans. About 9:15, while he was describing the change which God works in the heart through faith in Christ, I felt my heart strangely warm. I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone, for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he'd taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me from the law and sin of sin and death." It was William Holland's reading of Luther's commentary on Paul's epistle. Even at those three removes, Wesley heard the voice of the living Christ and found salvation. Jesus taught them, and that changed their hearts and changed their hope under the power of the Holy Spirit. And thirdly, their eyes were opened. Verse 31. Let me go back to verse 30. "When he was at table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. Then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight." They get to their home in Emmaus. It's late in the evening. They persuade Jesus to come in and share a meal. And at the meal, in a sense, the situation changes. It's almost as if Jesus, rather than being the guest, becomes the host. And he takes the bread. And he blesses the bread. And he breaks the bread. And in that action, their eyes were opened. And then immediately Jesus disappeared. We're not told how that action caused them to understand and how that light bulb moment. But the breaking of bread seems to have almost confirmed what had been going on inside them. And in that action, their eyes were opened. By the working of the Holy Spirit, they were able to see and recognize Jesus for who he was. Back in chapter verse 16, when they come up to him on the road, they didn't recognize him, but now they did. Their eyes were opened. Jesus had come to them. Jesus had taught them from the scripture, and now by the power of the Holy Spirit, their eyes had been opened, and he changed their hearts. And their hope. For me too. Listening to the evangelist explain about the cross. We then sat afterwards quietly reflecting. And we were asked to reflect on the hymn, "When I Survey the Wondrous Cross," before we sang it. And there, in the words of John Wesley, "I felt I did trust in Christ, Christ alone for salvation, and an assurance was given me that he'd taken away my sins, even mine, and saved me." I had a change of heart and a change of hope. Now, what about myself? As I look around, I recognise that many of us are followers of Jesus Christ, and praise God for that. But as you reflect on your path of faith, do these points resonate with you? Do you see how Jesus came to you? How Jesus initiated the relationship with you. As you look back on your path of faith, can you see a time when that happened for you? It may have been the guise of your parents, maybe a friend at university or somewhere else. Someone who, as it was with Jesus to you, initiated the relationship. And then can you think how you were taught early in your faith? Can you think of some people? And if you can, thank God for those people who taught you the faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus came to them. Jesus taught them, and their eyes were opened. And as I've been saying, I know the exact date and the place where my eyes were opened. It may not be the same for all of us. Some of us, it may have been just a gradual procession, process, and we don't really know when we came to faith. But we thank God that our eyes were open. And if someone comes to faith, it is only by the power of God. I think recently Henry reminded us that we can't argue people into the kingdom of God. It takes the working of God's Holy Spirit to do that. I thank God that my eyes were opened, that God enabled me to see Jesus as Saviour and Lord. And friends, if you've got a friend you long to see come to faith, recognise this, that it's only by the working of God's Holy Spirit that people can come to faith. So pray for them. Yes, take them to the Word of God, but pray for them as well, that God would open their eyes and change their hearts and change their life. Friends, you may be here this morning, or you may be watching on download, and you haven't yet accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior. And if that's the case, then please, let me encourage you. As I said, it took me a long time, over 4 or 5 years, from the beginning to come to faith. So, yeah, we may be slow, we may be foolish. But let me encourage you, because this morning Jesus is coming to you. Jesus is coming to you with a friend that's brought you to church, or friends that encourage you to come to church, or encourage you to watch this on download. And surprisingly, Jesus is coming to you and me as Jesus speaks his words to you. He's coming to you. And he's coming to you in his word. And he's coming to teach us. To teach us so that we might see who Jesus is, and we might have that change of heart and hope. Let me encourage you to read. Read the Gospels. There's Gospels available. Please do ask me for one afterwards. We've got them available. Read it. And if you're going to read it with a Christian, so that they can answer your questions. And then pray and pray. Pray that God would open your eyes. Because it is only God who can open our eyes. God may not want you for a Sunday, but God does want you to be his child and does want you to be his friend so much that he sent his son to die for us. The journey to Emmaus is one we can identify with. It was a sad journey. A journey without hope, but a journey that changed when Jesus came. When Jesus came to them, when Jesus taught them, and when Jesus opened their eyes. And the journey back was so different. And the journey of the rest of their lives was so different. Because now they had a change of heart, and they had a real hope. A hope not just for today, but for all eternity. And so may it be for us today. We recognize what God has done for us. What God has done in us. How God has changed our hearts. And that we have this hope. Not just for today, but for all eternity. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you that you do change people's lives. I thank you that you changed my life, and I'm sure many of us here could say amen to that. But Heavenly Father, I do want to pray that for those of us who know that you've changed our hearts, that Heavenly Father, day by day we would seek to live in the light of that. Day by day we would seek to keep our eyes firmly fixed on Jesus, and that we'd be walking that path of faith with him day by day. But the Father, if there are people here or watching this online that haven't yet accepted Jesus as Lord, I want to pray, Father, that you would, by your Holy Spirit, bring about a change of heart and a change of hope in their lives. And we pray these things in and through the name of Jesus Christ.